Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What's in the news today?
With so many stories,
dozens of stories,
we're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with our Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
Yeah, these are the things we wanted to talk about, but Brendan doesn't let us talk about them.
That's why we're getting rid of the segment.
Yeah, this is the last ever In Case We Missed It. So this is your chance to get in. If you have anything that we've missed, 713-780-3776. Joe George said enough of not letting the guys talk about what they want to talk about. Joe George is going to puppeteer something else.
He did say that this was his first focus before he went hard at the Twitchers. So way to go, Joe. Way to make your mark.
Fine. Even though some of you think I have bad takes. It's ridiculous.
On Twitch?
A lot of people think.
No, there's nothing but gems in Twitch.
They're also nothing. Hell-bent on the fact that you could be related to Brendan.
Y'all do look a little bit alike.
A little bit.
Fat, pudgy.
A little bit, yeah.
Little red beard.
I mean, I didn't say it.
I'll say it.
Facial hair.
You have better style, though. You have a better fit.
Fair.
You have a better fit. This Ja Morant story
is
wild. Now, the NBA investigation said that they couldn't confirm it. They didn't corroborate anything with it. But Ja's friend has been banned from the FedEx Forum, by the way, in Memphis. These Pacers staffers said that they were basically riding next to Ja Morant, a few other people in his entourage inside a car, and they had lasers pointed on them that they thought was from a gun inside this Ja Morant vehicle. Not a great look for, you know, the NBA. Not a great look for Ja Morant.
No, I mean, here's a guy that is quickly flying up the charts in terms of popularity. Now he's got his own shoe with Nike, and he's made a name for himself. He's an incredible player. You've got to distance yourself from this kind of stuff. This is the kind of shenanigans that used to be like, I'll meet you back at the bus, and it was Boogie Cousins, or it was Kendrick Perkins, or Carmelo Anthony even types, and Melo was a guy that really had to have some people intervene and say, you're too good to be doing these kind of things. But when you take it to the next level, it's one thing your dad's all over looking like Usher and creating problems on the court and getting in the middle of your beefs.
How does he look like Usher?
Oh, he absolutely does look like Usher. If you've seen pictures with the big sunglasses that Usher wears.
Does he shop at Banana Republic?
I don't know about that. But I've been through enough of the NBA that I was in that there was in the hallway, there was at the loading dock. But this is something totally different. They're trying to do a deeper dive to find out if the laser pointer was actually attached to a gun or not. And if they find out that, this is just catastrophic for Ja.
It sounds like the investigation's over, though.
No, they said they were going to continue it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that they had brought it to the police department's attention.
Huh.
But the league obviously wants it to go away. But the guy was banned because this was right outside the loading dock. This was right near the building as the Pacers were trying to get on their bus.
I've been in that loading dock.
Yeah, I have too. And I'm telling you right now, this is a horrible look for a guy that, from a marketing perspective, from a popularity standpoint, and from an ability standpoint, doesn't need any of this.
Yeah, not a great look. Ja Morant, Zion Williamson. You can have one of them right now in a rebuilding team. Who are you picking?
Ja Morant.
Because remember, that was the big who you take one, Zion or Ja.
Availability means a ton to me.
Okay, Charles Pullo.
Yeah, Ja. Easy.
Easy?
Easy.
Easy? Yeah,
Zion's
I agree with
just not out there.
Now, Ja might not be out there in 3 years if he has his entourage pointing guns
at
people.
Here's the thing. The scariest thing about Ja is if he's a lot like Stevie Francis, relying on his knees and his jump, and that starts to fade. And you know,
from a longevity point,
Zion's not really a model of clean health though either.
No, I'm different than the conversation of like comparing the two. I'm saying for the longevity of his career, the big worry with Ja is he can break down when the knees and the jump starts disappearing.
Yeah, that's a good comp. What are you comparing him to?
I'm scared he'll be Derek 2.0.
Derek Rose.
Yeah, Derrick Rose was like major injury though.
Derrick Rose was extremely physical too.
It happened one time and then it just with a snowball. That he just never could. I mean, he still plays in the NBA today, which is crazy. But like, it snowballed after that first ACL injury against Philadelphia. He just never got back from it. It's because the way he left off the court, like it just was brutal to his knees for so long.
He left it all out there, but he was highly physical too. Where I don't think Ja's that physical.
Yeah, that's fair.
Michael Irvin has been pulled from NFL Network Super Bowl coverage this week. The Dallas Cowboys star has been pulled from shows following an incident he had with a woman in Arizona on Sunday night.
What kind of incident?
It doesn't really say.
Is he going to still be on with Stephen A?
It's not good. I don't know. Doesn't say, Steve.
Because he's double dipping. He's maybe more than one, but he's double dipping in the fact that he's been doing ESPN as well.
Not great. Not great for Michael Irvin.
Playmaker?
Cowboy fans.
Making plays?
More than that. Jerry DePoto thinks it's a realistic goal for Seattle to win the AL West. We feel like that's a realistic goal, DePoto said, and we're going to do the best we can. Give it the old college try. We've never been more convinced of this team's ability to do those things than we were at the end of last season. So I think that goes for all the players in the clubhouse, because for us in the front office, our staff, we do feel like we got meaningfully better this offseason, and we are a deeper, more complete team than we were at the end of last season.
You're deeper, you're more complete. It's easy to say that because you haven't played a game yet, but at the end of the day, you're not the Astros. And you have admitted multiple times, Jerry, that you are chasing the Astros and you think you can close the gap on the Astros. They made a lot of big moves in this offseason. I don't think they're there yet, but I think there's nothing wrong with finishing second.
I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the best team in the American League West. I think they're a top three team in the American League, though. I like the moves that they made. I think bringing in Teoscar Hernandez was really good.
Are they better than Toronto?
Yeah, I think they're slightly better than Toronto.
Hmm, okay.
I think it's tight.
Yeah,
I'm not sure Toronto is the best team in the American League West, though. Or the American League East.
No. I think the Yankees are. I'm saying for third.
I don't know if the Yankees are.
I think the Yankees upgraded their pitching.
It's tough. It's going to be tough in the top of the American League this year, though. Like last year, I didn't think the Yankees were very good at the end of the year. Seattle was just far too young at the end of the year. Same thing with like Toronto. Toronto's pitching after Manoa was kind of meh. I didn't think the Astros had much competition last year in the American League. I feel like it's much different this year in the AL. Another example that no one truly cares about sign-stealing in baseball except for Evan Drylik. Carlos Beltran got rehired by the New York Mets. The Mets fired him after the sign-stealing scandal. Whenever, you know, Carlos Beltran came to the Astros, said the Astros were behind the times because they weren't stealing signs, as well as some other teams around Major League Baseball, especially teams that Carlos Beltran had played for previously. They fired him. He went to work on the Yesen for a year, and now he's back with the New York Mets in an unspecified role within the organization.
I think that's a role that's going to be more and more substantial, because I believe the Mets really like him.
Uh-huh.
I think Buck really likes him, Showalter. I think that they like, New York loves him anyway, but I think that you're right. I think that in the bigger scheme of things, this is that the Astros are still the poster children, and they're the ones that are going to get permanently stamped, and everybody else gets a pass as long as they've done their time.
The thing that I did think about the Buck Showalter effect, I feel like Buck had to sign off on this.
I agree with you.
I don't think Buck would have been too like fond, or like if he didn't get asked, but been too fond of the Mets hiring the former manager who never managed a game with the Mets, with Buck Showalter in the fold. So I think Buck had to sign off on this.
I believe he managed Beltran.
I mean, Buck
point.
Managed everywhere.
Yeah, but
and for a long time. So
I just think,
me.
But that's the first thing
that
I thought about.
Where did he manage him, though?
I think with the Yankees.
No, Buck was long gone from the Yankees. I don't know if he ever managed him.
No, I thought somewhere they might have crossed paths. My big thing with this is exactly what you said. I think Buck's an old school crotchety guy, too, and he doesn't need anybody that's going to be the heir apparent hanging around. So I believe he had to sign off on this as well. But I believe, look, the Mets and the Yankees both love Beltran. They just, one tried to hire him as their manager, and the other one loved him as a player and made him a broadcaster. I think that the Mets have bigger aspirations for him down the road.
Are you rooting for the Mets?
In the National League, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm not rooting for the Dodgers, so I'd root for the Mets over the Dodgers. But I don't know that I'd root for anybody in the National League. I think the one team I'd be rooting for in the National League is the Padres.
Are you Ouija? Why the Padres?
Because I'm just intrigued by all those guys that they've added and all the money they've spent in total go-for-it mode, and see if they can actually go for it better than the Dodgers and the Mets.
You know which team in the NL that I don't love the organization, but I think they're going to be so good? Like I need to start looking at some of the futures bets for these divisions. I think the Atlanta Braves might win 110 games. They are stacked.
They're good.
They are loaded. I don't think the Mets are going to win that division.
I'm ready for a rematch.
Astros and Braves.
Yeah.
I think they're the best two teams in baseball.
I agree.
I think the Braves are loaded, man. They are stacked.
Who's playing short for them with Nolan Swanson?
I think they're going to play Vaughn Grissom at short.
That sounds right.
Yeah. He was the up-and-comer they brought in last year that Dana Brown drafted.
I will say the idea of if Correa would have gone to the Mets and that deal would have worked out, I'd be rooting heavy for the Mets.
Same.
Just the idea of Correa, Verlander versus the Astros, juicy.
I think when you have the two beasts of the National League with all the money in the world that they kept throwing around, and all of a sudden here comes San Diego just spending and spending and spending and trying to compete. I'm intrigued. They got a lot of big names on that roster that can play baseball.
It didn't really work out for them last year.
Not yet, and, but wait till Peña said, I mean, everybody settles in. Juan.
Soto.
See, I don't really love the
Padres. He's going to be in center next year? Is that their plan?
I think they're going to play him in outfield, yeah. I think it'd have to be center field because they have Soto and Wright.
When they get him back, yeah. There was some rumors out there they were trying to move him.
Because they'll have Machado at third, right. Bogarts at short.
Mm-hmm. Soto's in right.
I think he's going to play a little bit of center field.
They have another shortstop who's going to be their second baseman. I can't remember his name.
Is that the international that they brought in last year? Yeah. Kim, I think his name is. No, yeah, Kim. Kim will be their second baseman.
And then I guess Tatis and all of his errors can leave shortstop.
I think Tatis is overrated.
I agree.
I think he had a really good year.
Clubhouse guy and teammate.
Yeah. Addition by subtraction. Saints are winners in this coaching cycle, too. I think the Saints won big by Sean Payton going to Denver. That way they got a little bit of draft capital. Remember, Sean Payton's contract ended after 2024. So there was a time crunch on this if you're a New Orleans Saints fan to get Sean Payton signed to a team. That way you can get some draft capital. I think the Saints are one of the biggest winners in the coaching carousel this year.
I don't believe in their coaching staff.
I don't either.
So we'll see how that plays out. But I think the fact that they got what they got and now they're kicking the tires on Derek Carr, they're obviously showing you that they're going to try and go for it. The division is well within their reach if they get any kind of quarterback play at all. But I don't believe in Dennis Allen, who they hire Woods as their defensive coordinator, and they're doing some other things. But, I mean, if they get Carr, interesting. But kudos to them for getting what they got out of Denver.
I still don't think it makes them a great team, but it makes them
in that division.
And I have some Chris Olave stock, so I wouldn't hate that a lot. Joe stopped playing the music, so that's our sign. 713-780-ESPN. What's that?
The whole Rockets take that they're now going to go get James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Oh, that's for Bad Take Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah, that belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. Are you kidding me? That's on the list. That's already on the list. That tops the list for tomorrow. Good tease. Question. Good forward tease.
You're welcome.
We're going to make mock drafts great again. We always do that on the Killer Bees. It's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's make mock drafts great again. Why wouldn't we? That's what we do with the Killer Bees. Eric Edholm, who's been on our very show, yep. friend of the Killer Bees. Who isn't a friend of the Killer Bees? Eric Edholm is out with his NFL mock draft 1.0.
Some guy named Locker.
They don't get along?
No. He's not a fan of the Killer Bees, or at least a bee.
He's a fan of probably two-thirds
of them. Yeah, two-thirds maybe.
I think. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Maybe
fan of the wheelhouse.
Definitely one-third.
Definitely one-third.
He doesn't like you?
No, he likes me.
Well, then two-thirds.
Definitely two-thirds.
Yeah. He's a big fan of Branham. Who ain't a big fan of Branham?
Yeah. Me?
Apparently he doesn't like you very much.
Yeah, the bee stands
for yeah, evidently not. I found out and didn't even know. Oh, well. I'll lose some sleep over that one.
Yeah. God. Blankers is blocked. I'm going to have to try that. See if I enjoy it. You don't tweet much, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, I cannot, like.
I do, but I don't do it to the level you do.
No. Like, I don't block people on Twitter.
I don't either.
I think it's satisfaction for the person that's trying to get blocked. It's mm-hmm. like it's like a manager trying to get thrown out of a baseball game.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to throw you out of a baseball game because you want to get thrown out of a baseball game.
The mute is so much more powerful.
Exactly.
Because
that's
the
play.
Because they keep tweeting
they
you.
They want yep. your reaction. You don't get
it. And you don't yes. see it.
Exactly.
So, like, these morons just, like, keep going at you for no reason. It's hilarious.
Yeah. The mute button is effective, which I like to do that on the Twitch, too. The mute button's effective. The block is just silly. You're giving the satisfaction to the person that's trying to get blocked. They won at that point. I'm not a fan of the Twitter block whatsoever. I didn't even block the person that posted my address on Twitter. That Seattle Mariner fan, Joe George, whenever I got...
Damn well better reported him.
Well, I don't think I know
I did.
That.
I did.
There you go.
Yeah, I made Seattle Mariner fans really mad once. Last off, I don't even remember what it was about.
It was after the Seattle World Series coming up, or remember the in-season World Series when they were making the big deal of the.
But I don't remember like what I said to trigger it. Was it?
I think you
after
were just
they
being,
won.
I think you were just putting them back in their place and saying they're not there yet.
I wonder if it was the one where I said Seattle getting ready for the Astros was like the Texans going to Gillette wearing the Letterman jackets. I think that might have been.
That might have started it.
But I was just going at Seattle people, and they one dude found my address.
Oh, the granola eaters were coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, it was fun, though. All right, let's make mock drafts great again. The Houston Texans in this draft, stay at number two. Chicago Bears take Jalen Carter. We're seeing more and more mocks, blankers, with Jalen Carter going number one, which Branham's got a ticket, Jalen Carter going number one.
I like it just because I hope the Bears stay put and do it so the Texans don't do anything stupid and still get their choice of whoever they want.
All right, you make the call here because I don't know if you've seen it or not. Who do the Texans take? If you're making this pick, you're making it. Blanker's not predicting what Eric Edholm's doing. You're making the pick. Jalen Carter's off the board. Who are you taking for the Texans?
Mr. Young.
Bryce Young is who Eric Edholm takes at number two. I want to play a game with where we pick who the Texans pick based on the next three picks. You would take Bryce Young over Will Anderson and Will Levis, right?
I would.
Because he has Young, Anderson, Levis. I would go, I haven't made a decision between Will Anderson and Will Levis yet. I don't know if I'm ready to make that decision between Will Anderson and Will Levis.
Don't do premature
selection. In terms of who you'd rather want the Texans to take?
Yeah. Will Levis is my number one quarterback.
See, that if Will Levis is your number one quarterback, then Will Levis has to be number one on your board.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Of who you want the Texans
to take. It depends on need.
Why? Why can't I want Will Anderson? Why can't I want Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are more of the post-D'Amico hiring of the issue of defense. I just don't. I think they should still take a quarterback number two.
Okay, I take Will Levis there. I take Will Levis under the Eric Edholm situation. But he has Bryce Young going number two, Will Anderson three. Will Levis is his second quarterback off the board, number four to Indy. And then Tyree Wilson, who's getting a lot of love, the edge rusher from Texas Tech, he has him going number five. The one dude who I think is going to be the top five that fell from Eric Edholm's top five is C.J. Stroud. Yeah. He has C.J. Stroud as his third quarterback taken, and he has C.J. Stroud going number six to Detroit. Which is interesting that Detroit is taking a quarterback. Anthony Richardson, who's a polarizing name, number nine to Carolina. So the Anthony Richardson's been all over the place.
I think he's going to be the third quarterback taken.
Over?
That high? When Stroud. Basically, he needs 2 years?
I just think the way we're going, we're not even at the combine yet. Everyone says if you just took these quarterbacks, they're raw talents, Anthony Richardson is the number one prospect. Of just
prospect, throw, but he needs to develop
power, for sure.
And think about the importance of the salary structure. You need to have him playing for you on a cheap contract in order to maximize the selection of a quarterback.
I feel like some teams just ignore that, though.
I think you're right.
And I think Detroit and Seattle at 5 and 6, you want a project quarterback who you think is going to be the best quarterback in the class. Well, if you have Geno Smith under contract, you have Jared Goff under contract, why not take Anthony Richardson if you think he's going to be the best guy and he can sit for 2 years?
Is Geno under contract for one more year? I thought he might have.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, I thought he was free.
But they're apparently going to lock him up.
Yeah, he said yesterday at the NFL stuff that he thinks they're going to get a deal done.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the worst kept secrets in the NFL. It's interesting you went Anthony Richardson over C.J. Stroud. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I like CJ a lot. I think that's where we're headed.
Why do you think Stroud's the fourth, though?
I don't. I think Stroud's second.
Oh, you're just saying based
but
on
I just think it just feels the momentum is flying towards Anthony Richardson being the third quarterback taken.
Here is the number 12 pick on the Eric Edholm mock draft as the Killer Bees are making mock drafts great again. He has the Texans taking Lucas Van Ness of Iowa, the edge rusher. So in this situation, you get your quarterback, Bryce Young, and then you still get an edge rusher at number 12.
Okay, I believe, and I heard this, I think, in multiple different places, he never started a game for Iowa.
Whenever you said that to me last week, it caught my eye, and I did some digging. He has not.
That's crazy.
He was a huge, I mean, he played tons of snaps, but he didn't start. But he's got all the tools, right?
Look, obviously this Texans defense, and that would be where you leave it in the capable hands of D'Amico Ryans, and if he says this is the kind of guy that, not that he's going to be Bosa, but if he's Bosa-like and he can give me the kind of pass rush that I need, this is a guy that I want. Go get him because he's there for you. I prefer, if you're going to go quarterback at two, that you go wide receiver at 12. But, if you say that there's a bunched up guys on the same tier and no one's a wide receiver one, then maybe you can get your receiver later in the draft.
Edholm does not have a receiver going in his top 12. In fact, the first receiver that he has going is Jordan Addison at 21.
Wow.
So Jordan Addison, 21. Now let's play the game.
So maybe second pick of the second round, you can get a wide receiver.
No, there's no doubt there's going to be a receiver there. It depends on which receiver.
Which one?
Because I could see a bunch of receivers going 18 through 31. I could see Addison coming off the board there. I can see Quentin Johnson coming off the board there. I could see Hyatt coming off the board there. I could see Zay Flowers coming off the board late first round, too. So it's what's going to be left at 34?
Kid from Ohio State would already be gone.
Jackson Smith and Jibba. There are some questions about that. Now, I could see him being off the board there.
Year?
I could see all of those guys, that tier of guys, not receiver ones, but best receivers in this draft, going between 16 and 30, 31, where all of a sudden, like, you're trying to wait to get a receiver with that second pick of the second round.
And you
round.
See the rush starting, and you know you got to get in.
Yeah, maybe you trade up at that point, or maybe you just, you know, you're content with whoever falls to you. Let's play the game where we take a look at who the Texans draft on this guy's mock draft, and then the next three picks, and you pick, of those four, which one you would have liked.
Okay.
So he has the Texans going Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end from Iowa. He has the Jets right behind him going Peter Skorinski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern.
He's a guard, by the way.
You think he's a guard?
His arms are short, they're saying.
I know that there's been some talk on which he's going to play.
Enough. Yeah.
Okay. Now he more in the equation for the Texans because he's a guard, not a tackle?
That's why I kind of brought it up. It's just like, I think it changes the narrative.
I'm not a fan of it still. So Skorinski at 13. He has the Patriots at 14 going Brian Branch, who's the defensive back at Alabama, probably more of a safety in the NFL. And then he has Green Bay at 15 taking Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. You get your option. One of these four guys. He had Edomad Van Ness at 12, but the next three after that, you get one of those four. Which of those four would you take at 12?
I kind of like Branch.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of like Branch to add to the defense, add to the secondary, pair him with Petrie. You know, you already have Stingley. You've got Christian Harris. I think that you give D'Amico a lot of different opportunities and versatility. I don't mind that pick.
Joe George, you get one of those four guys, Van Ness, Skorinski, Branch, or Mayer.
First of all, I hate your game because I just want to go back one more spot and take Joey Porter Jr.
The next three following, it's my game, baby. Mostly because that's all I can fit on my screen.
I'm going to go with Joel here. I think I'd take Branch. You have a defensive-minded coach. You get your quarterback. You add another safety. And, like, in theory, in the last two drafts, you've added an impact linebacker, two safeties in a corner. Like, your secondary and, like, middle level of the field is just – if you get Christian Harris right and Branch and Petrie, the up the gut of the Texans is awesome.
Yep.
Why I'm not going Branch here is because I think he's a safety in the NFL, and I think there are so many quality free agent safeties that that's a position that you need to sign. And if you're going quarterback at number two, this case Bryce Young and Eric Edholm's draft, I'm going Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. Everybody's telling me I need to get a pass catcher for my young quarterback. Mm-hmm. Give me Mayer. And Van Ness is probably my second pick because I do want to get an edge rusher, a young edge rusher, but I'll go Mayer and Van Ness. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Alexander, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Alexander?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was just calling because I was wondering if I could get your opinion on Bryce Young, man. Like, you know, I'm like a real big Alabama fan. You know, I've watched Bryce play in Bama, and I'm wondering, do y'all think maybe if his size will be a huge factor in him playing in the NFL?
Appreciate the call.
I
mean,
that's
Alex.
Obviously the big knock on him. I think that everybody knows he's got the intangibles. Anybody that's watched him, and evidently you have a lot, you know he's capable of stepping up in big moments, and no moment is too big, and the biggest thing are the measurables. And, you know, until we get to his hand size, everybody's going to focus on his weight and his height, and it's going to be an ongoing, never-ending discussion. And it's basically, do you think he can win football games in the NFL, or do you think he's going to get crushed and that the size is going to matter?
He needs to be taller than 5'10", and he's going to need a hand size around 9 inches. On top of that, I'm watching the arm strength. I'm rewatching all of these Alabama games, and I'm wondering to myself if he's making NFL throws. Junior year Bryce Young was amazing.
That's what Lance said too, yeah.
Junior year Bryce Young was amazing because he had John Mechie, because he had Jameson Williams, he had Brian Robinson. I've watched rewatched a lot of Bryce Young games his junior year when he won the Heisman. I can't tell you how many touchdown passes he had when he threw a 5-yard pass and one of those guys ran it all the way to the house.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched Bryce Young's last year a whole lot. I've seen a few games, and some of the arm concerns are there. Like, people say Will Levis has bad accuracy. Will Levis this year at Kentucky had a better completion percentage than Bryce Young did.
On 20
That's
plus?
A fact.
Or all
everything
over.
Across okay. the board.
Because Will Levis has a bigger arm. Because the one guy you should be talking to in your building is Mechie and saying, you know, I understand what you saw him do
Not going to talk bad about him.
No, you don't need him to say negatives, but just say, you know, how does Bryce's game translate to the NFL?
But what is Mechie going to say, though?
You don't know.
I mean, I would say you don't know, but I would say it's very likely he's going to advocate for his guy.
I'm not saying, but here's the way I'm setting it up. So we've got a lot of guys on the board. But if we have any intel from any guys that know him, tell me what you liked about Bryce. Tell me what you what your memories are and what his attributes that stand out to you are with Bryce. It doesn't hurt you to get the intel from the guys that have actually caught passes.
I'm fine with the intel, but I'm trusting Caserio more than I'm trusting John Metchie.
Oh, no, absolutely. But like I said, that you know, back in the Rudy days with the Rockets, if you knew or in my case worked with guys that they were considering making moves for, they were talking to you and they wanted everything you could possibly give them. And that's why I talked to Metchie and just start asking about arm strength and the throws and the caliber of quarterback he could be on the next level.
Yeah, I mean, turn over every stone. I just don't think Metchie's going to say a bad thing about Bryce. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We'll get to you some of your reaction on this. Also, J.J. Watt talking to a Pardon My Take. Talked about the DeMeco hire. And what is J.J.'s favorite moment of his career? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. The new location is open. It's only a mile away from the old location, but the best thing about it is the food stays exactly the same, which is the best Italian food in the area. If you're in the Fulcher, Richmond, Sugarland, Katy area, you are right there where you need to be because you can get there quickly and you know that that food is to die for, and it is absolutely fantastic. Chris Smith, not only the chef, but he's also the owner of the place. He's going to make sure that everything is delectable, delicious, to your liking, and you're going to leave full, happy, and you're going to want to come back for more to sample other things on the menu. Check out that menu at frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. See all the different specials they have from week to week and understand that everything is going to be made from scratch, everything using fresh produce and fresh meats and all of the freshest of ingredients. And the main thing is that they are focused on you, your family, or your friends, and the fact that you can have a good time, spread out, relax. And they're not going to worry about the dress code or which fork you use. They're going to worry about, did you get enough to eat? Are you happy and satisfied with your meal and your drink options? And if you want to have some beverages after dinner, Dino's Bar is right there inside the restaurant. 8 big screen TVs if you want to watch some sports while you're at it. But you can still spread out, relax, have a good time, drink some nice cocktails. Fantastic place. They do brunches on the weekends. They have lunch specials and are open for lunch every single day of the weekday. You're going to love everything that you can get for them. Check them out. The new location, a mile away from the old location, north side of FM 1093 between Spring Green and FM 1463. Best thing I can tell you is you can take Highway 99 and you can get right off on 1093 less than a mile away. You are there and you are ready to sample and taste the best Italian food in the city, in my opinion. Check them out today. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into JJ on Pardon My Take in just a moment. People love where love to know where Bijan Robinson's going in these things. Buffalo at 27.
Boy, if Buffalo gets him at 27, that is the steal of the draft.
I mean, it's scary because of their offense. Now, it's interesting because they drafted James Cook last year.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you're upgrading. And when you're a team that good, all you're doing is looking to enhance positions that you already have in-house. And if you can upgrade and you can get, instead of Dalvin Cook's brother, you can get Bijan Robinson, you're upgrading. I mean, it's like we talked about with Philadelphia. If you have such a luxury of having a high pick and a Super Bowl caliber team that you can go out and just take whatever best player you need, no matter who says you don't draft that player that high, and you do it, that's an amazing luxury to have, and they're in a great position to do it.
Yeah. I don't think he gets to 27.
I don't either.
I think that I would take the... You kind of the under or the over sooner. I always get confused by this. I say he gets picked sooner than 27.
I think he gets picked in the top 20.
I think there's so many options here. I mean, Detroit, you know, they're going to lose. They'll probably dump DeAndre Swift at this point.
Like, yeah.
The Patriots, I don't think it might sound crazy, but they're in that option.
Bijan to Detroit sounds terrifying. I think it's too early, though.
Well, for both of us, Joe, it should.
What about, like, how much longer do you think the Chargers believe in Eckler?
He's still very productive.
And they have Isaiah Spiller, who I liked a lot coming out of A&M, like who they barely used this year for some reason.
The thing with Eckler is he's productive and he's versatile. The fact that he can catch the football, he can get you the tough yards, he can also still fast enough to hit the hole and give you big yards.
What about Baltimore?
They're a big running team
What about Minnesota? Dalvin Cook on the decline?
No, they paid Dalvin Cook. They're not doing anything.
And then the Cowboys.
Now, Minnesota was a team that traded Diggs and then drafted Jefferson, though.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where trade Dalvin, draft Bijan.
That's like one of the best trades in NFL history.
Yeah. See, that's what's frustrating about that is the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins that same offseason.
Yeah, for a second round pick. Yeah,
the Titans used that model to try and 2.0 it when they traded Brown, and it didn't work out quite the same way.
It could be okay. I like
the kid from Arkansas.
Like, He's all right.
What would you put the over under on Bijan?
I think Atlanta could trade down. I think Atlanta and Dallas are very strong candidates for him.
I would say it's probably.
See, Dallas picks at 26. I wouldn't put the over under.
Dallas could trade up.
No, sure, but I'm saying if you put the over under on Bijan Robinson, what would you put it on? There's probably some books that have this.
I would say top 20.
I would say it's probably like I'm gonna guess it's like 50-50. So I'm gonna guess like 15.5.
15.5.
I think that's a little too
high.
No,
maybe it's like, okay, you know, maybe it's like 21.5.
I think it's top 20.
Okay, so we're somewhere around top 20. That'd be interesting. I think I'm going to take the sooner. I think I'll go sooner on that. I think he gets picked before 20. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there real quick for Justin. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, guys? I got two quick takes for you. One of them is to counteract Jeremy a little bit. Usually agree with you, but on Will Levis, a lot of people always talk about his completion percentage, and I remember I was watching one of the things with Lance, and he was talking about how I believe it's around 20% of his completions were behind the line of scrimmage. You know, I think that kind of counteracts the argument quite a bit if you see the majority of his versus everybody else's. But another prospect I wanted to throw at y'all for 12, I got to see some All-22 on him, Trenton Simpson. This guy's a freak athlete, and I would love to get Nico, a linebacker, to do whatever he wants to with. So that's my take. Thanks.
Thanks, Justin. Hopefully you get an attitude adjustment in terms of who you always agree with. But other than that, we always appreciate you being a part of the Hive.
Why does that bother you? That he agrees with me more than you?
I didn't say it bothers me. I think he needs an adjustment.
Most people probably do agree with me more than you.
I would highly doubt that.
You think?
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I've seen those things, too, about Levis throwing the ball 20% of the time, shy of the line of scrimmage. I've also seen the intermediate routes and the spray charts between Will Levis and Bryce Young, and they're comparable. Like, the accuracy is comparable.
And I think that's the thing. You're never going to – very rarely are you going to have, like – and Trevor Lawrence comes along, but then he had a rough first year. But very rarely are you going to have the perfect quarterback that's just the hands-down number one overall with no argument and no close second. But each one of these guys in this year's draft, it's different than the year that Pickett and those guys came out where he said, well, there's not even really a guy worthy of top 20, 25 type quarterback play. Now you've got guys that are all worthy of higher picks, but they're all going to have their shortcomings too, and you can nitpick them apart. That's why I keep saying, from a Casario and Texans perspective, just trust your gut, but settle in on one guy that you have to have, that you believe for your system, for what you're trying to do, and what you value in a quarterback, that's your guy.
I don't love that logic. Like, to me, it's where your tiers. Because if there's one of those guys, then you probably need to trade up. But if there's two of those guys where you think they're relatively the same, then you stay put.
I think that, like I said, you need to be hell-bent that you've got a guy that you completely no going in, that's the guy you want to have. And if you have to trade up to get him, or you have to monitor what the Bears are doing, or the Bears are in constant contact with you as well, then maybe you have to do that. But make sure you trust your gut and get the guy that you firmly believe is capable and the guy that you believe can take you for a long period of time. If you don't think that you can do that, or you don't think it's one guy, then maybe you shouldn't take quarterback at all.
If they trust their gut, and Will Levis is the pick at number two,
people are going to lose their mind.
No, how will you react?
I'm going to be very, very open-minded and optimistic to hope they got it right, but at least I'll be pleased that they focused on the guy that they believed was the best guy for the job. Now, the clock immediately starts on Nick Casario, because on a pick like this, he's going to be hyper-analyzed. So if you're going to put him out there and say that he's going to be the number two pick, more power to you for trusting your gut. But you better be right.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
If Bryce Young is his pick at two, he won't be analyzed nearly as much because of the popularity vote.
Yeah.
But with Will Levis, the clock starts ticking immediately, and you are going to be scrutinized beyond belief.
People would hate it. Yep. I'd love it. 713-780-3776. Back to the HRP listener line. Alexander, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. I hope it's a different Alexander.
I do too.
Alexander, what's up? You're in the Hive maybe again?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm calling again.
No, hang up on Alexander.
One call a day.
Dikembe Mutombo-ing you. That ain't happening, Alexander. You pulled a fast one on Joe George because he's new, he's green, he's raw. But he'll learn his lesson.
That's fake news.
He'll learn his lesson.
It's not my fault. This system is.
He just took you to the cleaners,
you didn't
bro.
Hear him. You didn't hear him on the phone?
Heavy on the start.
No, I heard him. But first of all, the phones are tough to hear. Second of all,
I got you.
I wish it showed people's phone numbers.
Well, you're the boss.
I can't fix that.
Make things happen, bro.
I'll do my best.
Start being a Will and Dylan, son of a gun. Woo. 713-780-3776. Let's get to J.J. Watt when we return. Also, there's a deadline in the NBA tomorrow. Twitch is dying to hear about the Rockets. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
J.J. Watt was on Pardon My Take, and he had some things to say. It was an interesting conversation. I recommend if you're a J.J. Watt fan, if you like J.J., to check it out. But here was J.J. first talking about the favorite moment in his career.
I've said my favorite 3 minutes of football that I've ever played was a game versus the Tennessee Titans at home in Houston a year where I got a strip sack. I picked up the ball, ran it like 15 yards. I came off the field for one play. They threw a ball down to D-Hop to the one-yard line. They called me back in. I went in the backfield, motioned out, and Ryan Fitzpatrick threw me a touchdown the next play. So like a three-play stretch where I did everything I could do on defense, and then I went out and scored on offense. To me, that was the coolest moment of my career because I felt like I was playing backyard ball.
There you go. Backyard ball.
That's pretty cool.
Playing both ways. I'm surprised it wasn't the playoff moment.
I was going to say the return, yep.
It's a little surprised to hear J.J. say it was that one and not the pick six. J.J. Watt, this is the first time that J.J. Watt publicly has spoken, at least in like the interview setting, not social media, not Twitter, about the D'Amico Ryans hire. And J.J. Watt went out of his way to mention D'Amico. They didn't ask him, what do you think of the D'Amico hire? He was like, you know, they were asking him like who he thinks is going to go into the Hall of Fame with, which team. And then he like went out of his way to bring up D'Amico. Here was J.J. on the D'Amico hire.
It was one of the best decisions they could have ever made because immediately, I mean, we've obviously gone through some struggles there in the last few years, but immediately every single old player's on board. All the fans are on board. Like, you want to fill that stadium up again next year? D'Amico as your coach is immediately doing
that. What I found weird about this is how he went. Weird about this answer. That kind of stood out too. But again, this question was not about D'Amico. It was about like which jersey is he going to be wearing in Canton. I don't even know if they do that in Canton. And JJ was like, well, I really have no idea about that. And then he went out of his way to talk about D'Amico Ryans, which the other day on Dan Patrick, he was asked point blank about his thoughts on Kyler Murray, and he skirted around that as much as he could. So he skirted around Kyler Murray, but he went out of his way to answer about D'Amico. I found that to be pretty telling.
I agree. And you know, the previous comments from JJ were all about like the fact that when he got drafted by Houston, the first thing he wanted to do was live in the neighborhood that D'Amico lived and follow his lead and listen to him and understand that's how to be a professional. And the things that he learned along the way, you immediately felt good about the hire, if nothing else, because a guy of his stature and caliber believed in a guy that's going to be leading your locker room and your football team to be a leader of men. And that's such a huge factor in this job that we haven't seen in the last, at least the first year with Cully, and regardless of how you think Lovie did. The Murray thing to me was even as more intriguing because of the fact that we caught me in that comment, just like he's already reattached himself to the Texans. And it's basically like, thanks for giving me the money and allowing me to show I can still play in this league. But overall, I am a Texan. I will be a Texan. And from now on, I'm still a Texan. I like the fact that he's distancing himself from the Cardinals. And JJ, you know, we know how JJ, I've always said he plays the game better than most. And there's no way, even on the way out the door, he is going to sell anybody out or drive over them with the bus. But you could tell just kind of the way he kind of hemmed and hawed things, too. He did not want to talk about Kyler, and that normally means that he doesn't have a lot left to say. Because you remember, the last time he didn't want to talk about someone, it was because of the work ethic and the fact that his other defensive end that was supposed to be such a stud first-round pick was spending more times in New Orleans casinos than he was rehabbing and being on the football field.
Yeah, that was pretty telling from JJ. All right, the NBA trade deadline is coming up tomorrow. We're a little under 24 hours away from the trade deadline tomorrow at 2, so we'll have some trade updates throughout the show. Shams is reporting the latest one in the NBA. We'll get to the Rockets in a moment, but Shams is saying that the Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves are in discussions on a three-team deal that would send D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers, Russell Westbrook in draft compensation, such as a first-round pick to Utah, and Mike Conley Jr. to Minnesota. This is a Lakers deal. They get rid of Russell Westbrook. They bring in D'Angelo Russell, hoping to have a better score. That makes sense for the Lakers.
It really does, but I think that then it also is intriguing because did anything that happened last night seal the deal? Because if there were any bridges left to burn, the two you don't want to burn are Darvin Ham, the guy you gave the keys to the car for the foreseeable future as a coach, and then LeBron James on the night that he is honored and put up on a pedestal, and you're the last guy that walks over while they're getting back on the court and slaps him in the chest to say, hey, congrats, when on his night you did everything to kind of make it about you, shooting every three that you got, trying to score, throwing the ball away all over the place. It's a mess that's getting messier by the moment in L.A., and they have to do something.
Yeah, it makes sense to get Russ out, and I'm sure he'll be bought out and be on the buyout market. Deadline tomorrow for the Rockets, of course. Now, we've talked about players we want out. You went as far to say that you would fire Rafael Stone if they don't trade Eric Gordon.
Yep.
Jayshon Tate is a name that you and I wouldn't mind if he gets moved. K.J. Martin for the right deal, although I'm not giving away K.J. Martin for a second. I like him as a player, but if you get blown away, pretty decent offer, I'm willing to trade K.J. Martin. But we haven't had the conversation from the other side because the Rockets are definitely sellers here. But is there a player or a type of player you would actually like to see the Rockets add at this trade deadline tomorrow?
Well, here's the first thing that intrigued me. In one of the Jayshon Tate scenarios, they were trying to get the Celtics to bite on Robert Williams. Robert Williams, if healthy, is a perfect fit for this Houston Rockets team. He's young. He's played in Texas. He's a guy that blocks shots, rebounds the basketball. He's active. He can run the floor, and he can complement on a defensive angle what Şengün does on the offensive side of the ball, and he gives you something that's not repetitive. Jayshon is repetitive in younger guys that you have that can play the same position similarly, such as Tari Eason, such as even a K.J. Martin. So from that standpoint, that's the first guy that came to mind where I said, hey, man, let me tell you something. If you get Robert Williams, and that's a guy that whether he starts or comes off the bench, can come in big defensive moments and can give you a shot blocker, a rebounder, and a guy you can throw the alley-oop to, you could do a lot worse because you're repetitive in terms of what Jayshon Tate brings. And we talked about Jayshon Tate's value is accentuated by being on a good team, not being lost on a bad team like the Rockets. So that's the first name that came to mind. I don't know if you have anybody that intrigues you.
What about a Eric Gordon?
Hold on, let me hit the Robert Williams thing real quick. Mm-hmm. Is he going to start for you?
That's what I said. He can come off the bench in my mind.
He's making 10.7 this year, 11.5 next year, 12.4 the year.
By NBA circles, that's cheap.
You think? For a backup center?
Well, but guess what? You're paying Eric Gordon a whole lot more, and you're getting rid of him. But you get a guy that can give you the versatility defensively.
I'm not worried about this year's contracts. I'm not worried about this year's salary. I'm worried about this offseason and for the next two offseasons being able to attract max-level free agents to Houston.
If you can get more than one, more power to you. There's still ways, as we both said, you can get creative with contracts. But I think that's a fairly inexpensive contract for a guy that could be a substantial rebounder, shot blocker,
I like him as a player. I don't know if I want to spend 11.5 on a backup center
in the NBA. He doesn't have to be. Look, you can start him if you want, but that's all dependent upon how you see Şengün and how the next coach, or if Silas somehow survives, how he sees Şengün. But I would see Şengün as your starting center of the future. But Robert Williams, as long as he's getting his money and getting minutes, I could see him being on the floor quite a bit in crunch time.
I'll take your word for it. I do like him as a player. I'm intrigued by the player. The contract worries me a bit. What were you saying, Joe George?
Yeah, I was going to throw out there, what if the Warriors are at a point now where they view James Wiseman as unplayable?
Ooh, I like it.
Like, could you convince them to give you Wiseman for like an Eric Gordon plus to help them win now?
I think you can.
Because I think they're going to get rid of him. It sounds like they're not going to move from Kuminga.
No, they love Kuminga.
And then
he plays a lot.
And Moody is the other one, the other lottery
Moses
kid.
Moody, yep.
They're like both Moses Moody and Wiseman could be available right now, especially because their GM doesn't have a contract.
Well, but not only that, look at where they are. Look, it's one thing to say, hey, the Nets are blowing it up, but the Nets are still a bona fide playoff team with a good position in the East.
Well,
the Warriors, because of injuries, are basically down towards the play-in game right now, and Steph's going to be out for a month and a half. And Clay's been dinged up, and they don't play him in back-to-backs, and you need more scoring punch. And I think a veteran is exactly what Steve Kerr wants. And if you could get Eric Gordon to go there, that's a huge win for the Warriors. In the process, if you could get one or both of those two guys, you can see what they got. You can see what they could be. You give him more minutes, which you have to do to a guy to evaluate him. And Wiseman could fit in too, and he'd be a lot cheaper for you than what you're paying Williams.
It's not that much cheaper, actually. It's like a million and a half because he's 9.9. So it's pretty close. I mean, maybe that is the going rate. I like both ideas because I think both of these players are kind of both of them are young. Both of them have potential that they could kind of grow with this young team. And you really, like, Bruno Fernandes is the rim protector on this team. This is an upgrade. Wiseman and Williams are upgrades over Bruno Fernandes.
Now, the other thing that I've heard a lot is that they're looking for a veteran presence or two that wants to be here, that would be welcoming to the trade, that could help you because it's a stabilizing force on and off the floor.
Kind of like Schroeder last year?
A little bit.
How bad, like, what are we talking about in terms of contract? Because I'm okay with that. But this better be the final year of his deal because I don't want to commit to that type of player.
I think you might
pass this season.
It just depends. I think that some of the scenarios they'd be open to a guy that has more than an expiring contract simply because they don't have anybody like that on the roster. And Gordon's one of the last veterans there. And if you move on from him, now you've got nothing but recess going on with all a bunch of school kids.
Right, but. Like, Gordon's veteran presence really isn't doing anything.
Not anymore, but you need it. What I'm saying is, of anything, you need an Eric Gordon that's actually dialed in and committed, and that from the veteran standpoint. So if you can get a veteran that can do those things, I'm okay paying him for one more year.
See, I like the idea of that, but more in the offseason as opposed to now. I mean, you're already 54 games into the year. You have less than 30 games remaining.
But if you can start laying the groundwork, building some relationships with some of the young guys so that next year with a clean slate, you can get something more out of this team on a nightly basis because you got a guy that's going to be kind of coaching them up and also discipline them a little bit from a player perspective in the locker room. I like that.
I guess my fear with this is that contract, and it depends on the contract, and then, like, is this player even helping you, would interfere with the chances of signing a better veteran in the offseason or any players that you're trying to potentially bring in.
The fact that you don't really have a veteran.
Yeah, it is pretty frightening.
Yeah, I would think that you need more than one. So if you could get one in a trade and you also get Eric Gordon out and where he wants to go or with a contending team, then it's a double win.
Well, tomorrow, the deadline at 2. Not Santa saying congratulations, guys, on keeping Joe George through the final segment today. That does deserve a golf clap. Congratulations, Joe George. You made it a full show today.
Thank you.
Very challenging, something that you could not do yesterday. Today, you were able to make baby it the steps, entire Joe. 3
baby
hours.
Steps. Baby steps, baby.
All right, it's it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing his full job today. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next football on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.